Good morning, church. This Easter season, we've been reflecting together on the spiritual practice of discernment, what it means to discern God's direction for our lives, and what it means for us to participate in the life of the Spirit within this community with our time, talent, and our finances. We're reading from the correspondence of the early church to help us deepen our understanding of our gifts and how God calls us to use them. This morning we hear from Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. Once again, let us open our hearts and minds across time and space to hear this letter as if it were written for us today in Brooklyn. I say, be guided by the Spirit, and you won't carry out your selfish desires. A person's selfish desires are set against the Spirit, and the Spirit is set against one's selfish desires. They are opposed to each other, so you don't do whatever you want to do. But if you are being led by the Spirit, you aren't under the law. The actions that are produced by selfish motives are obvious, since they include sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever feels good, idolatry, drug abuse and casting spells, hate, fighting, obsession, losing one's temper, competitive opposition, conflict, selfishness, group rivalry, jealousy, drunkenness, partying, and other things like that. I warn you, as I have already warned you, that those who do these kinds of things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the self with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Let's not become arrogant, make each other angry, or be jealous of each other. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in Spirit, for the word of God among us. Amen.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with the fruit of your love, your joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And may the words of our mouths and meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Let the people say, Amen. Today is the day of Pentecost. We used to do something fancy where we throw rose petals all over you. We did the streamers. I've got a dove kite on order now for next year. But we've been in this stewardship season, right? And what has the stewardship season theme been? Pop quiz. Oh, and also, let me just say, if you're having trouble hearing me, get near a speaker, move around so you can hear okay, okay? Great. What's the theme of the stewardship season been? Okay. Come on, girl. What, Dot? That's one of the parts. That's a sub-theme of the major theme. But good on you. You were here that Sunday. Good. Yes, Vanessa. Discernment. Uh-huh, right? Can we all say that together? Discernment. Right. That's a theme. And what is discernment? Knowing God's will. Okay. That's very sure. You may know that already. Seeking God's will. Okay. Anybody else? This is our college student back home. Yes, discerning God's will. Yeah, discerning God's will, figuring it out. Great. Anybody else? Yeah, yes, Merle.
Sharing your gifts.
Sharing your gifts. Yeah. So we've had this mantra. It's a little hokey, but you know I don't shy away from hokey. I want you to repeat with me the mantra. Dot already gave us one of it. God has given me a gift of my own. Anna preached on that. I don't have to do it all. I kind of preached on that. We have what we need. Anna preached on that again. And then last week we had a moment where we celebrated all the gifts, particularly of our church school and our acolytes. And today our theme is using my gifts is filled with joy. So thank you, Michael, for that spirited reading. Michael is a preacher, as you might have guessed, and he used it in the scripture, which is fantastic. The people in Galatia were trying to figure out what does it mean to be a Christian. We've been Jews all our lives, or we've known Jews, and they follow a bunch of rules. It's all about practice, how you practice. Am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? What does the law say? And Paul was trying to give them a list of ways that you can check out if you're actually doing what you need to do, because we're not going to go by all these rules the same way we used to. We're doing a different thing now. And so he said, here's how you tell if what you're doing is in line with the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, I first fell in love with that verse when I was in junior high or high school, in Sunday school. I'm a church geek from way back. And it just seemed so clear to me how to follow that. 10 years ago, when a bunch of pastors were praying on then-candidate Donald Trump, and they said, he is anointed by the Spirit. I said, well, let's check that out. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. I couldn't get it to figure out. I encourage you to take this into whatever you do in your work. Take it into your office. We've been doing a lot of conversations about budget here in church leadership, trying to figure out these big ticket items we got, about compensation, about all the challenges of the building, all the challenges of the acoustics in this space. People charge a lot of money for stuff now, it turns out. But in those conversations, I've just been thinking, okay, where's the love? Where's the joy? Where's the peace? Where's the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the goodness? Where's the self-control? And I would also say to you, this is the challenge I'd give you, is to write these down and put them on your bathroom mirror. And when you're flossing your teeth or doing your hair or whatever, check it out. Either at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, or better yet, be a good Jesuit and do both. Where was love today in my life? Where was joy? Where was peace, patience, kindness, the whole list? Try it out. If you try it out, email me and tell me how it went, because I would really like to know. Today we're focusing in on joy, and some of you know joy is my favorite word. I went to 6 yoga classes this week. I signed up for one of those 4-week specials finally, and I was sweated all week long. And when I was down on the mat and they say, set your intention, the one that kept coming back to me was joy. I want to be joyful. and gratitude was right there behind it. Or like at the beginning of the year when you choose a word, I often choose joy. That's the word I'm going for. And as I have said many times before, joy is not just a feeling. It is a commitment, right? It's like love. You don't always love everybody. You don't always like everybody, but you can be committed to loving them. Any parent here knows that. Anybody who's been in a relationship a long time, I love you, but we don't always like each other, right? So joy is that way. It's a commitment. It's so much more beyond happiness. It means I know there are horrible things going on in the world, but I'm going to step into joy. I'm going to dance anyway. I'm going to sing. I'm going to embrace. One of the things I love in the Pixar movie Inside Out, which I saw last year, changed my life. You may know it's a story about the emotions and how they work in our psyche. And at the control board of our psyche, who's the manager? Joy is the manager. She's managing sadness and embarrassment and ennui and nostalgia and disgust and envy. She's managing all those emotions at the control board. I was at a Passover Seder last year, and someone said he had heard that joy is the matriarch in the family of emotions. She won't come into your house if all of her children are not welcome. And then I remember that as Jesus was preparing to say goodbye to his disciples in the Gospel of John, he said to them, I have said all these things to you that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. In the Greek, it means like full up, liberally supplied, consummate, fulfilled, complete. Yeah. Now, when I first came here, almost 12 years ago, there was a lot of anxiety in the system. You all remember that? There'd been a lot of transition. Things were worried about money. Felt like the sky was falling down. I had to say to people, it's not the National Security Council, it's just church. We can all calm down here. And the first thing that I think really happened in those first 6 months, do you remember this? I felt like we opened the door on joy. It had just been waiting there all along to be expressed through lots of challenges. It was the sweetest thing. I mean, that's why I came here, is because I knew there's all this joy in this place, and it's only gotten bigger and more fulfilled and liberally supplied the longer we've gone on. Now, the question in discernment is how to tapping into our joy, and there's some questions I gave you as take-home questions about thinking about your own joy, and our discernment team gave them to us. But how does this help us discern? Well, I'm going to reach back to about 15 years ago, when one of my mentors and friends, Reverend Pam Wertz, who's at Emmanuel Church on Newbury Street, she came all the way out to Washington State to speak at my installation there as a pastor. And she said to the congregation, which had also been through some choppy times, they'd had two pastors die on the job. Yeah, before I got there. More stories about that. But she said to them, have fun. Yeah, have fun. Good. I know you already know how to do this. My charge to you is to increase the joy in your lives together. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a French theologian who was also a scientist, once said that joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. And I'm pretty sure he was right about that, Pam said. So ask yourself, in your discernment, get in the habit of asking one another about the experience of joy in the ways that you are offering your gifts in this community. Where do you find the joy? When do you experience joy? And tell others about what brings you joy. Hans Carl's doing it right now. Y'all have been working very hard, and transition is a lot of hard work. I can say that about us now, that moving into the future is a lot of hard work. We're doing a lot of research, a lot of questions, a lot of challenges. She said to this congregation that had lost two pastors on the job, transition is hard work, and if you've been experiencing joy, wonderful. But listen to this. If you are not experiencing joy, stop what you are doing. Set it down. It is not yours to carry. Someone else may experience joy by picking it up. And if no one does, just let it rest. Allow yourselves to rest. In discussing this week, Amy in her wisdom shared that in discernment, we sometimes think that we will know what we're supposed to do, that we'll know when we're on the right track, when we see these traits emerge. But discernment doesn't end. It never ends. It doesn't end when we get the job. It doesn't end when we figure out what our pledge is. It doesn't end when we figure out what we want to do in the church. It doesn't figure out when we get the right role. It is ongoing. And one of the ways we can test about our discernment is love, joy, if you know what I'm saying with me, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now I'll tell you, right now in my life, I'm probably the most joyful I've been, and I can't remember. Hallelujah. Robert looks at me some mornings when I'm talking up strangers and he goes, "Who are you?" He reminds me of our Parisian friend who said to me once, "You know, you Americans can be quite brutal with your cheerfulness." But anybody who was working with me a year ago knows I wasn't always this way. But there's something I read 20 years ago that I keep revisiting, and I want to share it with you, because it's always been that image of what I want to be. It's that commitment. It's the kind of commitment I want for all of us in whatever we do. Even those times when I felt like there was a big, wet, heavy wool blanket on my soul, even the times I felt like I was dragging my soul along with me, I kept going back to this commitment. Now, Robert Phillips wrote this about, I'm pretty sure, his relationship with a sweetheart. But I want us to imagine this poem about our relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit. If you were to hear me imitating Pavarotti in the shower every morning, you'd know how much you changed my life. If you were to see me stride across the park waving to strangers, then you would know I'm a changed man, like Scrooge, awakened from his bad dreams, feeling feather light, angel happy, laughing the father of a long line of bright laughs. It is still not too late to change my life. It is changed. Me, who felt shortchanged, and because of you, I no longer hate my body. Because of you, I'm a warrior of joy. Because of you and me, you drop by this Saturday morning and discover me fiercely pulling weeds gladly, dedicated as a born-again gardener. Drop by on Sunday. I'll turtle wax your sky blue sports car, no sweat. I'll greet enemies with a handshake, forgive debtors with a papal largesse. It's all because of you. Because of you and me, I've become one changed man. I've lived long enough to know that I'm not always going to feel this way. But I'm going to keep trying to be committed to living that way. When I'm sweating on the yoga mat, when people cut me off in traffic, when bad things happen, because they will. I thank God for the joy in this community, the joy that has been there all along. And I thank God for the privilege of sharing it all with you. May God bless us always here in the United Parish of Brooklyn. Amen.